I don't think a lot of people got that.
Right.
And then he just kind of disappeared while everyone else just went about their business.
Yeah, that was a little... I did expect Carl Weathers to be a bigger star than he ended up being.
As a kid? Hell yeah.
Yeah, because like you said, it was Action Jackson, and then it was like, huh? Like, nothing? Like, really? Nothing?
I remember seeing him on Arrested Development. Remember he was Tobias's acting coach?
Oh, yes.
That's the first time I remember seeing him again.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, poor guy's getting made fun of. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with him. Like, I don't get it. I guess maybe Hollywood was different. They had that one black guy back then that was Danny Glover. You know, Morgan Freeman wasn't doing... Well, they actually did try Morgan Freeman as an action guy. Was it The Kiss of the Spider-Woman or...
Yeah. You mean when he was Alex Cross?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, that wasn't action so much as more of a suspense thriller kind of situation. Oh,
okay. I never saw those movies, so...
Yeah. Because what the hell were we just talking about?
Carl Weathers, like, being the only black
guy. No, which movie was that?
The Morgan Freeman one, or...
Oh, yeah, the Alex Cross. I didn't see those Alex Cross movies either. I couldn't remember.
I know, like, that guy...
what I just said.
Tyler Perry did one that he remade it. Spiderweb or something? I don't know. I didn't see it, so I don't care.
Oh, man.
But it was cool. And the other thing, and you'll notice this too, you know.
Wow. I mean, that was back-to-back years. Was Predator was 87. Action Jackson was 88. Mm-hmm. I honestly do not remember Dangerous Passion in 1990.
That's a Cinemax movie, I'm guessing?
Him and Billy D. Williams, I mean. A security man, Weathers, goes to work for a sadistic gangster, Williams, with an alluring wife. Who's the alluring wife? I mean, this has a 4.4. So, I mean, it's quality. Lynette McKee. I'm not sure I'm terribly familiar with her. Of course, the wife and the security man immediately hit it off. So, yeah. That sounds like one of those movies that I'm like, where are people pulling from for these old movie shows now? That one sounds like right for the reviewing, honestly. I don't know how many people have done Dangerous Passion, but I feel like we could do that on the podcast sometime here.
Yeah, I forgot he was in Happy Gilmore. Remember, he was the coach.
Oh, yeah, I did scroll past that because I was trying to see what else he was in. And, because there's this not a whole lot. He was in Street Justice, a TV show from 91 to 93. Do not remember this at all.
So maybe he was doing more than I thought. But
he definitely did more than we thought.
Yeah, I'm looking up now. He's been doing like different episodes and stuff here and there, I guess. But,
yeah, and there was another TV. Oh, he was on In the Heat of the Night for 28 episodes. So that was at least a season.
I'm still going with that's not what we're getting at.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree. When him and Arnold Schwarzenegger did the the bicep pose there,
yeah. Greeting, iconic scene. We did it with him today. Funny enough,
yeah, you definitely expected him to be not just working but a true action star. You know, I mean, is it kind of terrible to say that? I'm thinking that Wesley Snipes might be the first one with consistent, big box office attraction.
Yeah. I'm trying to go over, and like this is the worst part of this, by the way.
You would know better than I would, so that's why I do not watch as many movies.
But this is how stupid our conversation is. I'm trying to figure out, was Wesley Snipes the only black action guy? How dumb is that? Wait, was there only one? And I'm like, I can't think anybody else off him.
That is one of those ones where it's just like that. You really need to agree with there isn't enough representation when you're going, Wesley Snipes is the first real action here. Like, well, I mean, even in the fact that he could even be in the conversation is pretty silly.
Yeah, in Hollywood movies, obviously, like, there are other, like, small, like, crap movies, but, oh, not crap movies, but just tiny movies, and those don't really count either.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go with, like, Richard Roundtree or something, just because, I mean, I know that both you and I watched more than a few Shafts.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had all that, that was the 70s, and those weren't actually, like, the romanticized version of all these movies is that, like, everyone saw them and everyone loved them, and it's just not the case.
Oh, right.
They did
right.
very well, but they didn't really escape to get into, like, huge mainstream audiences. It just didn't happen. So, I'm going to tell you, like, Wesley, because Carl Weathers had some of the 80s, I'll say some, with Rocky and, well, I'm sorry, as Apollo Creed.
Apollo Crews, good gravy.
I've got to the point where I can't even say Apollo Creed. It's Apollo Crews.
Yep, not good, sir. Not good.
Yeah, 90s would have been Wesley Snipes. 2000s really kind of belonged to Denzel because he started doing action movies.
Well, yeah, and then that was the other thing I was going to say that's kind of funny is that Denzel might have been around in an earlier time period, but he wasn't really doing the action stuff at that point.
Yeah. And then he started to.
Yeah, and then
now he's still doing it as an old man, too. Like, calm your tits, dude. You're almost 70.
Well, I mean, Stallone's in the same category.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that one, what was that murder fest that I watched with him? Where his daughter gets abducted or something like that.
Are you thinking Rambo Kills or Rambo Last Blood?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like that movie. I didn't even understand how we went from the Rambo before to that one. I'm like. Because Shahid had pointed out he's a serial killer. He's Jason in this one. And I'm like, okay. Someone watched it. And I'm like, oh my God. What is this? I mean, the spoilers for a 4 or 5 year old movie. The girl even dies. It's like, this is some dark shit. Like, okay. And he rips the guy's heart out of his chest at the end, which was just batshit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Rambo Last Blood. I was just like somehow he made it even more over the top than the last one. Because, I mean, I always make fun of that character, which was the one that he went, was it, he goes back to Vietnam there?
Was it the more recent one? Was he like taking the missionaries on a boat or whatever?
Yes.
That's my favorite one because of how cartoonishly outrageous the bad guy is.
Yes. And that's what I've made fun of for like the moment I saw that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this, cause he's evil having people run through minefields, in the rice paddies. And then there's like, we really needed something else to be bad about this guy because, you know, like murdering a bunch of people and having people beg for mercy isn't good enough. Oh, he's a child rapist too. And it's just like,
he was a regular rapist too. He didn't discriminate. I mean, they covered everything.
I forgot that he was just a regular rapist.
And I couldn't take it. I was like, this is hilarious. I know it's not supposed to be funny, but I just couldn't believe. It's like, dude, I get it. Like seeing him, subject these people to the tortures you're giving them. That rice paddy field alone, And just how, you know, your
basis. Oh, okay, yeah. It was just called Rambo in 2008. Right. Yeah.
And just like, that's enough. And then he, like, you know, he goes up, takes the clothes off the girl. And then the little boy, I'm like, I get it. And then, honestly, the way he dies at the end by getting gutted, I understand that's horrible. But was it really satisfying?
Oh.
I argue this all the time, that it should have been a much slower death. Just for the pure spectacle of what we've endured with this man in this movie.
Yeah, it seemed like a little too quick of a death for someone perpetrating those levels of crimes.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's an eye for an eye sort of thing, but it's a movie, so I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, no, that was when Eric lived with me, so I was going through the divorce, and we watched that every time it was on. That movie is fantastic. That Doomsday, I don't know if you remember this one. It's like a zombie outbreak in Scotland, and they wall off Scotland.
Okay.
And like half of it's like a cannibalistic techno world, or like Holocaust world. And the other half is like an old time, like Scotland.
Okay.
The movie's batshit crazy. I love it. So.
Yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah, and Rhona Mitra's in it, and she's just gorgeous. So, and she's in, like, black leather most of the time. Like, okay. So, yeah, no problem. Oh, so I pulled up a list of, all I put in were black action heroes, right? Just to round this out. They have Lawrence Fishburne, Jamie Foxx in here. Like, they have Sam Jackson. Not really.
Well, I don't know why. I just realized that we missed a big one. And I don't know what time period it would start in, although I would say Independence Day would be the start as action star.
That would be like mid-2000s.
Will Smith.
So, oh, no, that was the 90s. Excuse me. That's the 90s. You're right. So there were two then. So you would have had Wesley and Will Smith at the same time. And I guess they have Lawrence Fishburne in here. But, I mean, I know they've made action movies, but... action stars. You know? And Will Smith definitely did the action star stuff. So
yes.
That's a definite.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Those two probably are kind of pretty close to concurrent.
Yeah. But it's also like, just like I said, the argument's stupid because you have to think singular.
Yeah. Which
already narrows your scope. Like, oh yeah, we forgot someone very important. But it's also not that bad that we forgot them because that's just how things are. I mean, at every time period, there's always been more than one or two, even three, like white guys that were the action stars. I mean, Arnold and Rocky, Jesus, Stallone, and not including like Jeff Speakman and all like the B movie guys who were out there.
Yeah, and I don't know where, at least it. Because JCVD definitely would have been at the, you know, near the
late
top
80s,
of
early 90s. Yeah,
near the. Well, I'm trying to think of where the, like, do you go with Steven Seagal is B or is he still A tier?
Oh, that's A tier, dude. I mean, as soon as Under Siege hit, he immediately became A tier. And I'd actually argue Hard to Kill and Marked for Death were A tier, and then Under Siege came out.
Yeah, those his better movies were definitely the earlier variety.
Yep. Which is funny because they kept saying like anything with three words in it were his good movies. Anything with more or less weren't. I was like, oh, Under Siege was pretty good.
That was the best, so, I would have to say.
I'm still inclined for Hard to Kill just because it's just so damn goofy. And which one had the Jamaican twins? Was that Marked for Death?
Oh, I don't remember. It's been so long. Like, I've definitely watched Under Siege over the years. Since then, I have not watched either of those two in quite a time period.
No, I have not watched Seagal movie forever. But really because of him. I mean, Jean-Claude's got at least... Now, the one where he's... He finds his twin brother, Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Dude, that movie is outrageous to watch now. And I watch it every time it's on. Like, he's...
Yeah, I think that was one that maybe was on TNT somewhat recently, and it was one of those ones that I kept on while I was doing housework or something, but I did get a, I'm just like, this is so out of control.
You have to watch it unedited, and not that's because the girlfriend gets naked, I mean, that's obviously a bonus, but he's just straight up calling his brother a fag. He's going hard F with it. I was like, I don't remember any of this, but it's hilarious. Like, oh my God. Of course, I was also in high school, so I'm probably throwing those words around anyways. So, sorry, I'm not as enlightened as I wasn't as enlightened back then as I am now. But I had no idea I was hurting people's feelings, except for the one person I'm calling those words. But... Yeah, but yeah, there's always been two or three white guys. And like, this list had Pam Grier on there, and I'm like, well, we're talking about males anyways, so.
Yeah.
She's God tier anyways.
So. Yeah, she is above that status.
Dude, I mean, they put the picture of her as Foxy Brown. I was like, oh. Hi, childhood crush. I forgot about you. Like, they don't make them like that anymore, right? Like, all natural and shit. Like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, this is how we were supposed to be built? I haven't found one, but.
Oh, well. Yep. I don't think any of them. I don't feel like I see that body type in wrestling. Currently.
Oh, nice. No. I wonder how tall Pam Grier is, actually.
Got no idea. That.
She's 5'8". Okay, I thought so. I thought she was pretty close to 6 foot tall. So.
Yeah?
She's not a small person. So that's why everything used to hang just so perfectly. So. First pair of titties I ever saw was Ursula Anders and the Sensuous Nurse. Second pair were Pam Grier. And I was like, my career is getting off to a stellar start.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I'd be able to tell you that factoid. Like,
that's how much of an impression it made.
Because I would have to say that it was more than likely just like one of those... 80s movies where they just had a pair of boobs in them. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, Police Academy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is on that list of first time that I saw a pair of boobs.
No, I'm a queer guy. I've been in this game a long time, son. So. I remember. One of, like, the older kids talking about, because, you know, cable was new. You had TV Guide and all that stuff. And TV Guide would, like, list it out and be like, this is rated R. And then it would list why it was rated R. The greatest thing ever as a kid.
Yeah, you always waited for that N symbol to come up.
Yeah. And then you were like, okay, you look like us, swearing and violence. Nah. Swearing, violence, nudity. Record that late at night. Swearing, violence, sexual situations. Nah, skip on to the next one. And I don't remember his name, but I distinctly remember my buddy going, no, that's the same thing. It's just that it looks like they're having sex. And I was like, so I can see tits? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh. So I started recording all that stuff. Changed my life.
Yeah, I did not have access to anything that were playing those types of shows. The parental units would not have purchased said TV package.
You know, it's funny you're saying that because I don't even remember how the hell we had movies. I mean. I mean, back then,
because there was the because I remember our friends had the click box that, you know, where there was like, you know, just like 8 or 12 stations or something, and you had to, like, it was like kind of a giant joystick type of situation for those uninitiated and haven't.
Yeah,
and are not as old as us. And I, you know, I remember going over there to watch some stuff because they had MTV and something else, you know, but it was really just a handful of cable stations or maybe two handfuls. So yeah, like we did not get that until, I mean, it had to have been close to like 90 by the time we really had like cable. Oh, wow. Is like cable as we think of now, to me, like that's when I remember getting it. Cause that was the one thing that it always changed. The Penguins were not really a regular thing in the Altoona area until cable came in.
Yeah, cable really changed the sports landscape.
And I remember that being the like the late, very late 80s. It might have been like 88 or 89, something like that. Kind of becoming a regular staple where it wasn't like, come on, mom and dad. Like I always knew that we were never getting like the Nintendo on you know, the new year that it was coming out. Just yeah, that never happened. So
my mom bought me a Nintendo for Christmas one year. I didn't even ask for it. She was like, oh, that's like the hot game. That's like the hot thing for Christmas, and got it for me.
Oh.
And I was like, what's this? I'm like, oh. I was like, oh, wow. All right. This thing's great.
Yeah. It was always at least one year off of that hot year.
Everyone's, you're getting a Nintendo, everyone's getting a Sega Genesis. You're damn it.
Yep.
I know we're not poor. I know we're not poor. This is bullshit. Dad's got 77 jobs. I know we're not poor.
We're running a cookie business out of the house. How bad can things be?
Yeah. The overhead's not that high. So.
Yeah. You are paying exactly zero employees currently. Might have been questionable child labor laws going on, but
breaking child labor laws is a good idea anyways. Get your asses in there and work. show you the value of money as your education goes to shit anyways. Don't worry about it. Strap that 4-year-old kid down to the icing. Just shit in order, kid. I know you're trying to go to wrestling. There's really no good way to doing it. So,
was kind of funny. I had to watch like the last hour plus of NXT right before recording because I hadn't gotten around to it yet. To not start on the terrible topic.
I'm trying to remember what even happened in the last hour. Oh, Mello and Grayson Waller.
Yeah, that was the main event.
Now I know the draft is coming. That's this week.
Not tomorrow, but the Friday after that is the start of the draft.
All right, when is spring breaking though? That's this Tuesday, right?
Correct.
All right, so. They're talking about, you know, depending on like what news source you read, whatever, we'll go with that. They're talking about how this is supposedly Triple H's reset. And that's why the draft is so important. Because he's actually going to make moves and break stuff up the way he wants it to be. This is all conjecture, obviously. And I did say, like, after WrestleMania was going to be Hunter's time. So I'm wondering if the draft is a first step. So, and they've made a point of saying NXT people are involved in this. So, watching that segment on NXT, and with that knowledge, I guess, and with the draft coming up, is it possible Grayson Waller could actually win? Or is this his swan song? And he's going to the main roster.
It is kind of a weird situation where you kind of need to shit or get off the pot with Mr. Waller there. Like, Carmelo Hayes has been hyped up for a while, and I obviously have no problem with that. But it would seem like a really, like, if he's not going up, that would be a really short title reign.
And well, that's what I'm getting at, if he does lose, that means he's going, right?
I would hope so. Like, I wouldn't see any other reason for that not to happen. You know? That really should happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Bron doesn't need to be there anymore. I think he's the guy that needs to go up, not because he's going to make a giant splash, but because he needs to be around people who can help him.
It's
pretty clear he needs some new voices and veteran people to be with. So he's going to get that. I mean, you put him on SmackDown, like around Roman Reigns and all those guys. I mean, come on. That's only going to benefit him. So, you know, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, if Randy ever comes back. You know, even being around Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, all of those guys are going to benefit him greatly. Even just picking their ear, watching them, you know, anything else. I don't know if he'd go right straight into like main feuds or not, but.
Oh, yeah, he still has time, I guess. That's why I kind of argued to see him, you know, post-championship, and it's been kind of fun. Like, him going, it's been kind of interesting that they made Carmelo Hayes a babyface without him really doing a whole lot of anything to deserve it, other than being good at his job. And, yeah, Braun went heel, and it's just like, this is kind of an interesting take and could be really fun moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this little meathead dickhead version of Braun. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And just like he did say something about like doesn't like the idiot fans or whatever, right?
Oh. Yeah.
I think we said this, but it's kind of deserved. They start turning on him for no reason.
Oh.
Like they do with everybody. So I didn't actually mind him getting on the fans' case. Like, yeah, the hell with you guys. Like,
yeah, it's one of the few times that it actually seems... It seems like it's easier to be warranted for the younger people than the older people.
Yeah.
You know what? And I forgot that was part of my... what I kind of thought was a little bit wrong with Trish's speech kind of situation. When I was talking to Chris about that.
Speech off. I'm like, this is going on forever. It's another person people don't want to boo.
Well, and that was the part that I didn't talk to him about, and I kind of forgot about, because there's part of it where it's just like, when anyone of that stature comes back and complain about not getting their flowers, it's just kind of, at least from the fans... it's kind of weird. It's just like, no, everyone has cheered you vociferously when you have come back. So
yeah.
If you want to say that Becky decided to disrespect you, okay, that's fine. You know, cause she didn't praise her enough or whatever. I think you can make that end of the argument, but the fans not respecting you is
weak sauce,
if at best.
Yeah. I just started hearing all like the buzzwords like that. I'm like, I just don't care about this, and I frankly forgot to go back and watch it. So
I did since everyone. I kind of watched and went eh, and I rewatched it because everyone was saying it was great, and I'm just like, well, maybe I'll rewatch this. I'm like, well, I guess it was better than I thought it was. But still, yeah, I kind of forgot about that aspect of my anti-it was good argument. And that was definitely a main key to it. The fact that, yeah, again, Edge trying to blame the fans didn't work.
That bomb, bad.
Yeah. they've tried to do it a couple of times with these returning legends, and it's just like, what are you doing?
You know, like, Trish's, that's a total miscast role. If you want someone that can come back, but I mean, because they're so easy to hate, are the Bellas. Like, that's a speech the Bellas give. Because they'll come back for a pop, and everyone will start booing them. Oh, that's right. They didn't like you when you were here. But Trish, every time she was around, everyone cheered. Every single time.
Oh, so, yeah.
It rings hollow. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just, I forgot. And what was the main event? Oh, the main event was Judgment Day. And yeah, that's right.
Oh, for Raw there.
Yeah, Raw was fine. I kind of wish they didn't have Bronson Reed attack Lashley. I kind of just like the Hoss fight aspect. And then they had to turn it cartoony with him going, I'm going to destroy him wherever he is. Like,
no.
Can't we just have a Hoss fight? Like, we've got it on SmackDown already. And it works.
Yeah. We can have multiples of these without turning it cartoony.
Yeah. So, and I, like they said, Vince didn't have any input. I'm calling bullshit.
I did not hear the words local medical facility this week, or at least I do not remember hearing them. But yeah, until that word is officially wiped out again, I don't trust any quote unquote email that was sent out to the talent about Triple H being in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, so Monday is kind of washed out. Although I'm getting tired of seeing the Usos all the time.
Oh. Like,
it's, I understand, like, that's the story is carrying the Bloodline story on, but every week isn't good, man. We didn't see them wrestle every week. Now, you know, last week was probably an emergency because people's flights getting canceled.
Oh, right.
But, you know, a lot of the time they would talk. Then they'd wrestle. And I know they're not the champions anymore, so they got to make their way back up, whatever, you know, they want to try and say. But I liked it when they didn't. That's why I don't have a problem with Roman, you know, not wrestling, but this whole absence thing is kind of weird. But...
Oh. I would think that they'd do more pre-recorded stuff with him. Somewhere. You know? I mean, even if he's at home... I would think they'd have a good place to do a video to at least have some presence on TV rather than just having Paul Heyman provide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with technology, it's not that hard.
So, oh, right.
You know, even just a Vine video or something. Like, just have him brag. I'm taking time for my time off.
Vine video, you know? Jesus.
I know I said that. And I just kept going like it was natural. Are those even existed? Those even exist?
Those have not existed for a few years now. Like,
oh.
I forget who. Either Twitter or Instagram swallowed that up.
Oh, all right. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I forget which company bought it.
Yeah, they could definitely do more with having Roman on, but, you know, you didn't. I guess, like, the standard is old, but it is the Hulk Hogan. You didn't see Hogan every week.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I'm okay with not seeing Reigns every week. I'm just kind of surprised that they go multiple weeks sometimes without something.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, he's got to show up. I guess he's not going to be a Backlash. That's kind of bizarre, but.
No.
Okay. And it's. I don't know. It's a benefit of his contract he signed, that's for sure. But, you know, and I guess the idea is to get heat on him for never being there, which everyone mentions and then loses to him.
Yeah.
So
everyone mentions and he still wins and people still cheer him.
Yeah. That's bizarre. But
yeah, he's kind of gotten to that point where he's just getting cheered.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know how you split the belts up. I actually don't know if you should, to be honest. I enjoy having one women's, well, I'm sorry, I enjoy having one men's champion. I enjoy having one tag team champion. I wish they would do one women's champion as well. Because you got it built in once a month, somebody new. You can, you know, go back and forth between shows, whatever else, but, you know, whatever, that's old news. But
well, I guess it is, to me, it is kind of curious. That's the only, well, I shouldn't say only championship. Because the U.S. and Intercontinental are on different brands. And then the women's championships aren't co-branded either. But the men's tag team championships are, the women's tag team championships are, and so is the main championship. So it is kind of a real mixed bag of what's going on. And yeah. They've at least hinted at the whole unification with Rhea coming out and saying something to Bianca.
It'd be good. I think so, at least. And but I'm also the guy that, like, I didn't want to have another like NXT Women's Championship. I just wanted the tag team championships. You know, move around. Like, remember when Solo had the North American, he won the North American title. It was like, oh, they're going to do something different with this and have him, like, defend on the shows, whatever.
Yeah.
No. Just gave it up the next week. Like, legit, just gave it up.
Yeah, well, and I think he's doing okay since then.
Okay, so that's actually, he's my argument for Braun Breaker. Solo was fine in NXT. Didn't do anything wrong, but it was like, all right, Solo Sikoa's around. Look at what they've done with him by taking away his ability to talk and then just controlling his matches and putting around his brothers and cousin and all these other people working with Cody, Kevin Owens, Sammy. That's kind of what I'm getting at with Braun.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be hilarious if he was like, if I don't beat Andre Chase, I'm gone. And then he loses. You're like, oh, he's going to the main roster. Unless he comes back in a mask or something. But
oh, yeah, he comes back as the Midnight Rider.
I still love that gimmick. It turned out they did it, it was the Italian Stallion underneath.
Oh my gosh. Okay, speaking of Italian Stallion, I about fell on the floor laughing when Stax and Tony D were talking in the restaurant, because I'm pretty sure that at least 99% of Italian restaurants have that painting in it.
Oh, yeah.
Roughly 99% of them. Oh, I was just like, wow, if there isn't a portrait like that, there is one, it's not a cityscape, really. Landscape, I guess you'd probably call it.
Yeah.
There's a similar landscape situation going, a painting going on at some other Italian restaurant that is pretty much dead on that style of art. Like, I was dying seeing that. And just because they kind of shot them talking to each other, I felt like they showed it a lot. I was just howling the whole time.
Just making sure they're goomba-ing it up, you know?
They definitely goomba-ed that shit up.
And I did get a kick out of, speaking of those two, they were talking to Pretty Deadly. And she's like, you know, with your attack on them, he's like, attack? Did you not see what they did to us first? And I'm like, they're right. So, I mean, you can't get on their case for getting revenge after getting, you know, attacked with a crowbar, for Christ's sake.
And being thrown into a trunk, yeah.
Yeah. That made me laugh. Like, okay, whatever. But
yeah, there was so much over the top stuff in NXT this week.
There always is. It is ridiculous how over the top stuff is there.
Like, I can't believe that. I thought for sure the wife would bite on the Briggs and Jensen, Kiana James, that's Fallon so Henley great stuff.
It's so dumb.
It is.
Briggs is crying. because his friend is getting laid finally. Like, is... You told us we're finally. Oh, like, shut up. You guys get some pussy. What's the matter with you? What kind of friend are you?
It's like an 80s movie where someone's turning evil because they went to the preppy side.
Absolutely. It's great. And now, I even called it. Remember I said, what should happen is he finally gets some or whatever, and she starts dressing him more like her. So when he came in and they had the white boots, this, I was like, oh my God, are they actually going to do this? He still looked like a goober.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But he had better clothes on, like better in air quotes. And his hair in a ponytail, I was like, damn, his hair's gotten long. Or is that extension?
No, I don't think so. I think that is that's some hidden flow he's got going on there.
And then just the whole thing. It's just so dumb. And then this is the part I didn't like, is out of the blue, he just challenges him. And I'm like, wait, what? We're rushing this, huh? And it brings beat some sense into you.
It's been, it's so weird. Just the setup's still a little bit strange to me because, I mean, they even specifically said it. They're like, she's been cheating on you the whole time, and she's like, yeah, I have been. And it's just like, man, you really have that little self-respect, huh?
I mean, if he's 25, they said it was a 23.
Yes, something obnoxiously young.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of forget what it was like not to get laid, dude. So,
I probably do because it's been consistent for a while now. So,
yeah.
And started well before, I would not have been capable of doing this storyline at the age of 23.
Exactly. Remember, they even made a movie called The 40-Year-Old Virgin because of how ridiculous that concept is. So,
not have been as desperate as, he's Jensen, right?
Hey, Keanu James is pretty damn good looking, though.
Guess that's what's kind of weird about it. Like, you're kind of still dating him, right? Or are you still just dating someone on the sly on the side still?
Yeah, to go back to what you addressed about the whole cheating thing, it's like, yeah, it's because that's all we put that behind us. I'm like,
oh, I missed that.
Yeah. That was like that's how they acknowledged it. We're putting that behind us. Like, you guys weren't even like seriously dating. She's like saying she's cheating on you, dude. Like, which, but of course, that's the obliviousness of it. He's like, he's getting some, or hopefully getting some. You know. And I'm trying to figure out, are we supposed to think that Briggs and Fallon Henley are banging out?
I don't think so. But yeah, like it. This one, just from the standpoint of how it's been played, and I guess they did write it off there with this statement that you mentioned, but it's been so wonky with, is she actually cheating? Is she not? Like, they really haven't proven anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, the other guy was A, a brother the first time, and then B, we never had a guy introduced, and it's just like, is she that bad if she finally did commit to him? That's, you know, it's like, honestly, people, come on. People have dated other people. People have married other people and married other people on top of that. So, you know, let's fucking just chill out here. So, yeah, it just seems like this thing hasn't had a straight path. It's like they were making decisions like she was going to be cheating on him, but they finally decided in the end not to. Like, it did seem like maybe Briggs was the one behind the whole situation. It really does not seem like that's the case now. Unless there's some type of weird double switch that happens at spring breakin' here.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's still the only way to kind of change this around. Like, oh, I was the other guy the whole... But, I mean, it'd be weird to cost yourself a match. Like, if that's the situation, either Kiana James is going to cost herself the match or Briggs is going to cost himself the match.
Well, I mean, Briggs could turn on Jensen and then, like, hold down Fallon Henley's... Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Pass or lose. Yeah. Well, unless they just throw the match out, which, you know, they like to do anyways.
Well, sure.
You know? So
that can happen.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, we just spent, 10 minutes on this dumbass story?
Oh.
Like, it's just fun. I don't care.
Hilariously dumb. It is really, that's the other reason why I thought the wife would appreciate it. I'm like, that is literally straight out of a soap opera.
Yeah. Yeah. Miscommunication, deflection. Betrayal, all of this. That's
yeah.
All of it is.
No one's hearing the whole story. Like, they're just getting, like, little bits and pieces and running with it and coming to their own conclusions without, like, any real evidence.
Yeah. And I don't like it in movies, but I like it in wrestling because you don't see it. And we're getting it in a different venue.
Oh.
So, in a different avenue, I should say. And it's still fun. And like the acting's not good. It's still, but I will say Briggs is probably the best actor of the bunch. Cause he's just like, after seeing like Josh Briggs as the angry guy in Evolve and all that stuff,
yeah.
Seeing him like starting to get angry now is even better. So I was like, oh, okay, this works. So, but yeah, like NXT as a whole is just kind of ridiculous and dumb. And then they throw a good match. Like, imagine. Imagine having to dress like Dijak in public. Like, you're going to jail, buddy. You're not allowed to wear that stuff out in public. So,
yeah, Chris and I were trying to figure out if a duster is too close to a trench coat.
Yeah, isn't that exactly what it is?
It pretty much the same thing. I think the style is a little bit different, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just, and like the dye job of his, Dijak's dye job of his goatee, all that stuff. Like,
oh.
Yeah. So, it just doesn't. I saw that, him walking into the building, and I'm like, okay. The cameraman whose camera does not lose focus on the shot at all, I was like, you better give that guy a raise. He never lost the shot. Like, okay, that's really good. But what else was just absurd on the show? Oh, JC Jane, again, getting involved with Gigi Dolin.
Oh. Yeah, I'm like, what? That's another one where it's like, what is the? I don't get what the end game is here now. Like, are we gonna have some type of a cage match between the two to finish this thing off?
It seems like that's where it should go.
Yeah, because Gigi's like, and she should be like, bitch, I've done away with you. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like. I've had to tolerate your nonsense for too long.
Yep. And, okay. So, I don't know. Indy Hartwell giving the women's match? Like, why would you put yourself at that disadvantage? Because she's a fighting champion. I'm like, okay. You say so, I guess, but.
Yeah, that, it was just weird. Because it's just like, oh, yeah, you just, Roxanne, you deserve a chance at the championship that you didn't really lose. But I'm going to put you in a position where you can not lose again.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hey, whatever, man. You just go with it, so.
Yeah, so there was that. There was a lot of really short matches.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, this show was more about the angles leading up to spring breaking.
Yeah.
That's all it
Because what really the Roxanne Perez Zoe Stark match was one of the longer matches.
Yes. Yeah, I got two breaks, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Zoe Stark. I get the feeling she's gone.
Yeah, like she's the one that I'm just like, what are you, like when she didn't win the championship at the ladder match and Indy Hartwell did, it's to me that is just like you have to be going up now. Like you can't have that many people talking you up about your skill and not capture the NXT Women's Championship before going up. But hey, whatever. I mean, there have been guys that have moved up from NXT and done just fine on the roster without winning the championship. So
yeah, you don't need to win a championship in NXT anymore. You never do.
No.
Because it's shown it doesn't matter. I mean, Big E was the first. No, Seth Rollins was the first. Big E was second, right?
NXT champion. I think so.
Look how long it took for him to become like a real wrestler. And by that, I mean like having the company behind him, all that stuff.
Right.
It took forever. When he had already established himself as, you know, a bankable champion, you know, but like whatever. So I'm sure there's others, obviously, but you know, like I don't think Bray Wyatt ever won the title down there.
Oh no, I don't think so.
Yeah, he didn't need it. Yeah, you just don't.
And even what's his name? I mean, I know that he hasn't really been a main event player per se, but. Baron Corbin has kept himself on TV more times than not since he got called up.
Yeah. I'm confused what they're doing with that whole storyline. Oh, you keep telling your audience this guy sucks. So why am I supposed to get behind them because of that? Like, am I supposed to give sympathy to this?
His wrestling persona has been so narrowly good. Like, his in-ring work isn't really the problem. Although it still feels like, I'm like, dude, you're like 6'8". Can you, work out a little bit more? Like, you're just killing me here. Like, even Gunther's like, hey, I need to be, I can't be carrying around this pot belly here if I want the super push in the WWE. You know, like, when people like that even kind of transform their body, and Baron Corbin's just kind of like, hey, yeah, this is good. Like, I'm in good shape. Like, that's okay.
He's in good shape for a regular person.
Yeah.
Not a wrestler or an entertainer, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that body type where it's like, well, you already talked about him, Bronson Reed, where it's just like, you're like, okay, you know, like, you understand where the you know, where the weight's going and how it's benefiting him, even though he is, you know, heavier than your normal, you know, guy that's 5'10" or whatever he is.
And I'm sorry, but that Avalanche is just so cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't jump. He just falls.
He just springs himself off of the top rope. It's 95% horizontal motion and 5% vertical.
And it's effective. The crowd's
still oozing, yeah.
The crowd's still oozing and awes.
Yeah.
But couldn't do that.
In what way? Oh yeah. Always say it. I will watch a Baron Corbin cooking show.
Oh yeah.
100%. That's what I am going to be. Whenever he finishes, I'm still going to be mystified at why he isn't really better on the mic.
Because they make him talk. You know what I mean?
Oh,
we've had this discussion actually.
Yeah,
it's their fault, not his. It's like what I was talking about with like Lizzo on The Mandalorian. She's not an actor. So then you give her all this goofy Star Wars garbage to talk about.
Yeah.
Jargon, thank you. Well, it's like, okay, Corbin's an athlete who's clearly a badass. Like a badass. He's a brass knuckles?
Golden gloves boxer, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty tough, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a young thing, but it is a thing. And
he got some hands.
Yeah, he's got some hands. I would probably, I think, you know, roughly 90% of the population would not want to fight him.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, and they mention it every time, okay?
Yeah.
Then why is he the, like, they're portraying him, like, when he was Baron Corbin, you know, the silent badass, everyone loved him. And then they're like, well, he's got to wrestle now. And it's like, no, he doesn't. He's a Golden Gloves guy. You keep mentioning it. Just let him be a badass.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then if you're going to make him talk, let him do the talking. And just let him do his own thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I guess it's been surprising to me just with Vince, even if he's not completely pulling the strings, it did feel a little bit less this week like Vince heavy, to be honest for sure. With you. And I would have thought that Corbin's personality would have been able to shine a little bit better during this Triple H time period. Because, again, like he still gets plenty of screen time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like they haven't pushed him in some way. I mean, they push him as a mid-card character. But,
yeah.
You know, I think that that's a decent enough spot for him, I suppose. For now.
Yeah, you can be a mid-card badass. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You're making money. You're getting TV time. And yes, everyone wants to be on top, but right now, who's on top? Just Roman. I know Cody, you can say, is, but it's like there's only one guy on top of the mountain that doesn't – he don't wrestle it often anymore. So it's going to be hard to overtake that position, especially when you're given a bunch of dog shit to do. Like I started getting into the Happy Corbin stuff because I'm leaning towards the absurd there.
Oh, yeah.
But then – okay, then it was over, and it's like there was nowhere to go.
Yeah, and they're almost trying to reboot it right now, and it's like, no, guys, you did this once already. Like, it was funny, but we don't need to go back to it. You know? Maybe if you go back to it for the fourth time, it'll be funny.
Yeah, going back to the well four times is always a good idea, so... Yeah, but like, you know, so he's just an example of a guy from NXT. But it's like, I'm trying to think, the rest of NXT was fine this week. Booker wasn't over the top horrible. I'm still thinking he's doing the stuff on purpose. Because he purposely, Vic said something. He's like, yeah, you tell me that all the time. And Booker started laughing. Like, not his Booker, ha! He just started, like, giggling almost. Like, got him. Gotcha this week. Like, it's pretty clear Booker and Vic are friends of some sort. And Booker, I swear, is just dogging him just to do it, which I don't know if that's a good idea or not. But
it does not always make for the best TV.
No. So, yeah,
if they're getting the joke between themselves, not the best TV.
Oh, the one that cracked me up. Indy was out there and it, almost said Ty Valkyrie. It wasn't.
Lyra Valkyria?
Yeah, what's her name comes out? Tiffany Stratton comes out.
Oh, okay.
Just the most hateable character on the show. She's so good. And then the Valkyra comes up, rises up out of the fog of the stand. That fog is so thick you can barely see her. And you're like, no, that was the wrong one. That was, I'm sorry, I got all my stuff mixed up. That was, the girl I didn't love, Cora Jade.
Yes,
that was Cora Jade doing that one.
Like,
the visual of it cracked me up. You could barely see her.
It got a little wonky there between those two.
Phil,
wait,
off the goddamn machine. Can't see anything. So
yeah, that was a good fog machine or a lot of dry ice.
But the rest of the show was just fine. Just setting up next week. Duke Hudson was fun, cutting his promo in the crowd.
Oh yeah, with the U.
Yeah, so I liked the tag match that opened though. That was the first time the Brutus ball actually looked like it hurt.
Yeah,
so
that
if
was.
You keep doing that, that's fine.
That was a fun opener.
Yeah. And it also makes me think the Creeds are going up, too. Because they should, too.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of reason for them to stay down there.
No, especially if Otis is moving on to the models. Chad Gable can, you know, make the American Alpha Diamond Academy.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
So are we finally going to get to the train wreck that was Dynamite then? That seems to be where we're at.
You know what? You know it's a bad show when I didn't say anything. I was just pointing out stuff. Like, Arn Anderson is a big human being. And I said something else. And then you come back, go, this show's not good. I was like, no, it's not. I was just letting you watch because you were behind.
That's it. I will steal a Twitter line from Chris. Although I felt this way anyway, this four pillars thing is not interesting at all. It was what he said, that it was one of the most boring ways to start off a TV show, and I'm like, I can't disagree with that. Like, and we kind of, that was the only thing that we talked about, is that we were really piling on the talking segments as things moved along, and that kicked off the show. And it's just like, yeah, the show got off to a bad start because it's kind of like, I guess I still don't get the point. Like, we already kind of talked about it. Like, why are you pointing out all of your, why is everyone pointing out their flaws about why they aren't champion right now?
And like, even Sammy Guevara, again, it's like, no matter what they say in the back, it's like, what are you talking about? I think I did say something negative and said, yeah, a 25-minute talking segment that didn't need to happen. None of that needed to happen.
Oh.
It should have just been announced. Tony Khan, who does this stuff, just starts the show with, all right, these guys can't get along, so we're doing a tournament. And a round-robin tournament until, you know, whoever comes out, if it ties, then we go to a triple threat or just something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but also, here's the big problem. All the people in AEW, these three are your top contenders. Why? It's never been explained. And all they kept talking about was how people were taking losses, by the way. And it's like, okay, that's kind of a weird way to sell everybody. But yeah, it's just more insider ooh and ah stuff.
and not necessarily good show stuff.
No. And like, I don't know, they said, Jack said something to Darby Allin about, you know, you didn't have any choice because of this. And then he goes, because you couldn't make it to skateboarding. I actually thought it was because he was too small. He was too small or too much of a bitch to go up north. You know, implied WWE didn't want him. That's the only reason he's here.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a better dig.
That's what I thought he was going to say. He's like, because you couldn't cut it in skateboarding. It's like, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Have you seen the stunts I do on the weekdays? I don't. I was a lot more in skateboarding.
You know, not everyone's great at their first job.
Yeah.
Especially when you started that job as a child.
Yeah, so it's just very essentially weird. But just the three of them out there tearing each other down, tearing the company down. And you're just like, all right, you guys are just a bunch of babies.
That's what makes it the worst. Like you said, like, Jungle Boy keeps on, he wins a lot, but I don't feel like he's won that many important matches. Because, what, did they have the tag team championships once?
Yeah.
They haven't won them multiple times. Him and Dinosaur Boy, what's T-Rexosaurus?
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus.
Who looks like a legit Mortal Kombat character now with that new outfit.
Oh, yes.
So I give that a thumbs up. Now, hopefully he doesn't wrestle like he's trying to be a luchador. But, you know, whatever.
But, yeah, like, I don't feel like Jungle Boy has had that much of a signature win at this point. Like, he's had some kind of big wins. It's still been, you know, another one where he hasn't been consistently... None of the four pillars arguing other than MJF has been consistently pushed. Mm-hmm. And then I think even MJF comes out and he's like, you guys can't cut a promo. And it's just like, well, yeah, you're pointing out their major flaw, like, right now.
Yeah. Well, and the major flaw is that they're all under 6 foot tall, too. Like, at least MJF, I think he's 6 foot or 6 foot one.
No, he's like 5'10 or something like that.
Is he really?
He has bulked up to try and play the part better. He is.
Yeah, he's 5'11.
Right. Vertically challenged.
Well, he's. And Adam Cole's 1 inch taller than him.
I'm actually surprised that Adam Cole's 6 foot tall, but.
No. Okay. But yeah, but
he's Adam Cole is officially the equivalent of what's his name, JD McDonough.
I purposely brought that up, by the way. You were cracking me up, dogging it last night. I'm like, yeah, wrong. But
oh my gosh, just yeah. So that did start Dynamite off on a bad foot, and it never found a good footing for the rest of the show. Like, was some of it downright terrible? No. Like we both said, the talking segments were the real downfall of the show. Cause I feel like there's another one where, you know, we kind of say it week in and week out where the wrestling isn't the problem really. Although, no. I'm not sure that Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker and Ruby Soho and Toni Storm was, like...
That benefited greatly by being in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah. And I couldn't tell if, like, Jamie Hayter actually hurt. But then it kind of plays into later how she couldn't come out and help her. You know.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So it was like, that was at least smart. But yeah, like, that match went on forever, and, you know, they won. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Long, and she comes out and gets beat down in her home crowd anyways. So I guess they went WWE angle on it.
Yeah. Because, yeah, they had that match, and then there's the all interview area again where you got the whole... you were correct in noting that Arn Anderson, you're just going, oh, you're either thinking Arn Anderson is bigger than I thought or Wardlow is smaller than I thought.
Well, I think that's the thing is, Wardlow's not a small dude. But Arn Anderson, <No. laughs> I don't know if I have ever seen Arn Anderson in person. Like close.
Right.
So I have no idea. He always looked, I mean, he was always a husky dude, if you want to put it that way.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was your prototypical 80s wrestler, but he was also, like, had the mystique. So you're like, this guy's a badass too, right?
Right.
Well, now he's obviously older, added, you know, his old man weight. And he just looks like a block. And the way, I don't know if it was the way they shot it, but yes, he did make Wardlow look like a smaller person. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't happen ever again.
Even though I kind of know that Wardlow is a bit of a on the mutiny side of physical specimens. Because, I mean, I think that he's 6'3 or 6'4, something like that. He's not the tallest of those types of superstars, but he's a pretty big boy.
He's only
6'2".
He's my height.
Okay.
No, I'm actually taller than he is. Never mind. I'm 6'3".
Yeah, I am definitely not.
Well, I saw that picture of you and me Jesus Christ. I'm like, when did this happen?
Oh, well.
You go, yeah, you're a big dude. I was like, oh. All right.
Yeah, there's a reason why you thought at that Pantera concert, who is that idiot causing problems that weighs a buck 35?
It's like, who the hell's that? Who's a tornado? So,
anywho, back to Wardlow. So, yeah, that talking segment happens, and then you get the Elite talking segment, which in no way helped matters.
Dude, if you come out and attack somebody, you know, with a screwdriver, and then the next week you come out and attack him with a screwdriver and say that you want to put that screwdriver in his head and all this stuff, right? And then go, hey, just come out here so we can just squash this beef and shake hands. Like, what? What planet? Where are you from? I know you're from Canada, but seriously, you got to be smarter up there than that. Do you have actual, like, real rage or pride or any of that stuff? Like, and also, I'm not buying the Young Bucks as badasses. I'm sorry, I can't.
That is just going to be a consistent problem with this story. It's going to be interesting to. I think Chris and I touched on it a little bit. The style of that match is going to be really important. Like, I'm not sure that they can wrestle a style that suits what the Blackpool Combat Club does.
I guess that's why they pulled in Takeshita. I mean, they're still trying to make Takeshita happen, I guess.
They are definitely committed to Takeshita.
I did like Don Callis running out with a chair, and Dan O'Brien's like, what are you going to do? He's like, ah, forget it, runs off. He's like, that's a good boy, Don. But,
yeah. Hey,
yeah, that was a mess.
Yeah, that segment was a mess.
Went out way too long. Just like the opener, it went out too long.
Oh. Yeah. And then,
the thing is, like, they're advancing the Hangman Page storyline on being the Elite.
Oh.
Like, you have no idea. Like, you don't watch it. So, every week they've been bringing it up, and Kenny Omega is like, I don't like Hangman Page. I'm not his friend. I don't care what happened to him.
Okay.
And it's like, okay. Well, then on the show, like, yeah, you know, Hangman Page. Well, I'm like, well, wait a second. So, like, they're doing their own storyline off-air. So,
it's going to be continuing to be weird. Like, I still have not made the time to watch that half-an-hour show or whatever that length is these days.
It's only, like, 20 minutes this week. But it's, like, you can skip over stuff. Like, really, so much of it is Nick Nemeth.
Oh, my God.
And some of his stuff is actually kind of. Like, he'll interview his dogs. He's like, so what do you think about Sam McVar? Do you think he's just a spot monkey, or do you think his psychology is sound? And his dog's just wagging his tail. He's like, nothing? You got nothing? Hey, you guys going to go out? You going to go to Double or Nothing with me? Where are you guys going? Because he's just dry, but, like, really trying to interview his animals.
It sounds kind of funny, actually.
It is. It's pretty stupid, but. I just watched the new Beavis and Buttheads too, and I'm all in on stupid. So, those are really funny. Those are really funny. So, if you have Paramount, I guess you can see.
Yeah, yeah. Do not have that at this time.
Yeah, I got it through like the Michigan Insider for free, and you kind of forget how much of an asshole Butthead is. Beavis is the sweet one. Butthead is just an asshole. Like, no one's smarter than him, even though they're dumb. And it really is, they harken back to the originals.
Oh, okay.
So, they're not cool at all. They're the same. They're still doing the same stuff, saying the same bad things. And, like, the first episode, they went to an escape room. And of course, they don't know the right from their left, so they go into an escape room. It's supposed to be a mummy's tomb. And they walk in the bathroom. So then they crawl through the ducts, get into the women's room, and they start playing with the tampons. So that was kind of funny. And then at the end, Beavis is like, I gotta use the bathroom. Which way is the bathroom? The guy goes, down the hall and to the left, or to the right. And I'm like, if he's taking a shit in this mummy sarcophagus, I'm gonna lose my mind. Sure enough, he's taking a shit in this sarcophagus. I can't cough because I'm still trying to get over whatever I got. God damn it.
Oh, boy.
I lost my mind laughing. Because you knew it was coming. You knew how stupid this show is, and it still made you laugh. I mean, his pants around his ankles, and he's just blasting away in this thing. And they really gone in on the physical humor of this one.
Oh, okay.
You can only make him so dumb.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's like they really got into like the physical humor of it. Like they were trapped in a box for a week.
I feel like you're talking about episodes of Aqua Teen Hunger Force at this point.
Oh, God, that's true. Yeah. But so, like, this is stupid in a good way. Unlike, like, just the nonsense. I'm tired of the Jericho Appreciation Society. Chris Jericho doesn't even look like he's into it at all.
Yeah, and because I figure we could blow by the Jay White and Commander match, even though that took up some time.
Okay, fine, fun match. Commander's cool. All right, like,
yep.
I never thought he was winning, and then there's a bigger problem. But then Sean Spears, who hasn't been around forever, and who I do not remember ever winning a match. And Jay White and Juice Robinson are scared of him? Like, this guy hasn't been around for a year. And when he was around, he never did anything. He was like the, what was Max? Oh, God. It wasn't the Firm. What was, like, FTR, Max, and Wardlow, and Sean Spears, whatever they were called.
Oh.
The Pinnacle.
Oh, yeah.
You know. He was just the job guy and the crazy, like, goofy guy. So he comes back with his still, again, old men and mohawks, stop it. It's just looks low rent. And they're like, oh my God, it's Sean Spears. Like, who cares? So.
Yeah. They say all the buzzwords about him still, too. It's just like, oh. Great technical wrestler, yada, yada. And it's just like, oh, is he going to lose again? Oh, yeah, he lost again. Okay,
yeah.
Like, great. Sorry, you can tell me how great he is all day long, but without a win in any memorable way, not going to believe you. Thank you very much. Moving along here.
Yeah, but no, it's just like, I like Jay White. It's just AEW has too many people, so I don't care if they have a Ring of Honor because Claudio's their champion, who they never acknowledge as champion.
Yeah, they're weirdly trying to keep a separate church and state situation going on with that now.
Well, then keep him
off the TV.
On Ring of Honor TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that simple. So.
Yep.
Like, Wheeler doesn't have the pure title anymore, so whatever. He can go wherever he wants. But you can't have this divide and then just go, well, no, not this guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's the purpose of a divide.
So, yeah, I wasn't impressed. I actually got sad seeing the Acclaimed come out. And, yes, they got a pop. It's not nearly the pop they used to get. They have hijacked their momentum so poorly by taking those tag titles off of them.
And then putting them in this weird situation that I guess I don't even know why they're entertaining the idea of being in the Jericho Appreciation Society.
And that's the problem is no one were thinking, oh yeah, they're going to join. No. It's ridiculous, you know? So it's a bad storyline.
Yeah.
And so you took one of your, and really your homegrown act.
Yeah.
And yes, they were together before, but your homegrown act and just derailed them. And the Guns haven't been on TV since.
And FTR.
Relegated to Rampage, and then that goofy segment where they said Mark Briscoe got hurt, and they ran 20 feet to the trainer's room. That cracked me up. That was so unnecessary. Like, no, we didn't hear. Oh, excuse us. And just walk over. Not rush into the trainer's room. Go, Jay. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God, not Jay. Mark, are you okay? Like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, Mark Briscoe made that segment, by the way.
I don't know how Mark Briscoe salvages as many segments as he does, but
that goofy redneck character.
Yeah,
he can act and say anything he wants. Act anyway and say anything he wants, and it works.
Yeah, because like many of these people that we have been talking about who don't feel genuine with their words, no matter what comes out of that man's mouth, feels genuine.
Yeah, and then just knowing that's not how he sounds, which is even better. Like, he doesn't have that real heavy accent, the twang, none of that stuff. So he's got this character down so well, and he's like, well, the trainer man won't clear me. Am I clear, trainer man? See, he won't clear me, so I can't do this. And you're like, okay, he's explaining it very well. So I want you guys to work together then. All right, we'll handle it. Like, yeah. So.
And then we really got the topper of this whole. And this is when I went, this just wasn't a good show. The Sammy Guevara Jungle Boy match finish. I don't get it.
But to get to the finish, don't you have to talk about MJF giving him a blank check? And then saying, hey, you have to lay down?
Like, which,
what?
We all know he isn't going to do.
Yes, it's... But, I mean, in all reality, if, say, Sammy does beat Darby, okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's just say... So we're supposed to buy a pay-per-view where the main event is a guy that already said he's going to lay down? That don't make no sense. That's just bad booking, bad business. You know, it's like, I bought tickets to the game for the baseball game. Oh, we're just going to swing at every pitch no matter what it is. Like, what?
We won this game yesterday. Do you feel like staying here?
Yeah, just so it's... They've handled this Four Pillars thing so badly.
Oh, on top of saying Four Pillars more times than I care to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just awful. And I just, it wasn't that hard. We have the Four Pillars match. All right, I've already beaten all you guys, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a Four Pillars match. Make it an elimination match to make it different instead of a fatal four-way.
Oh.
That would be exciting as hell. And maybe they'll still do that. Maybe they'll still have that way out, right? But it's still just the build is garbage. So, and they have what, is it Memorial Day weekend is All In? No. Which one are we going to?
Double or Nothing.
Yeah. So, a lot of time, but.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was just a very bad show this week.
Yeah, because they have not established any of these guys being legitimate wrestlers or competition that I think could even stand a chance of beating MJF.
I would buy Darby Allin. But sorry, MJF so and Jungle Boy, no.
No. But even Darby, I'm like,
or MJF, I'm sorry.
Take the title off of MJF for Guevara. Darby Allin, though. Like, all the momentum he's got for Darby. And again, we just talked about last week, I'm not going to miss a Darby Allin match. But, you know, I don't know if I'm buying him as a legit contender. So, now during the match, he'll definitely make you believe, though.
Oh,
that's not
yeah.
a problem. So, because he couldn't make it in skateboarding, so he became a wrestler. Jesus Christ. This is stupid. But yeah, but the finish of that match was just like, whatever. But to their credit, they do not use disqualifications or countouts that often. So at least it's a finish we don't normally see from them. It doesn't make it better, but at least it's not the same old with them.
If you want to put it that way, sure. I'm so tired of interference and shenanigans with their matches that it's hard for me to consider that a positive. And I think that's
you don't have any strategy.
Where I lie, where it's just like let's just let's attack them before the match. Let's it's completely fine if someone else interferes in the match, and I'm like, hold on, like. When did the Pittsburgh Steelers invade the Cleveland Browns versus Baltimore Ravens game? Like, did I miss that when that happened? Did I miss when Brock Lesnar and Heath Herring and Randy Couture had a triple threat match?
Wow.
It's just... And again, like Booker T is just as bad. So, I mean, it's not just an AEW problem, but AEW is definitely worse because Booker T is the only WWE announcer that goes that hard about cheating to win because the main roster still pretty much retains a little more decorum than that.
Yeah.
But AEW, it's just constant, whether it's Rampage or whether it's Dynamite. It's just like, yep, cheat to win. Doesn't matter. Just murder the guy or the woman before the match. Drag their dead body into the ring. And yep, that's fine. Does it matter that we won't have a roster the rest of the year because there are dead bodies everywhere? No, we'll just replace them.
That's a sound strategy.
Yeah, and that's what Taz's like, well, yeah, murder's a great idea. Like,
it's
I mean, he won the match.
Schiavone.
Like, oh, yeah, even Schiavone. Unless it's Chris Jericho.
And I think even Excalibur this week, it might have been this week or last week, actually, like one of them said, it's a sound strategy, you know, get your opponent off balance before the match. He's like, yeah, I can't argue with you there. Yes, you can.
That is exactly your job, is the babyface analyst.
Yeah, and like I'm like, if Taz says it, everyone else, I mean, they don't really have a bad guy analyst, I guess, but it's like, if somebody says that, you should have the freedom to go, that's stupid.
Yeah, like Vic does occasionally to Booker T, when it's just like, dude, you're just fucking talking nonsense now. And it's just like, okay, yeah.
And like, I just love the blurred lines of their realities, too, because, you know, and it's just wrestling, but... So Saraya comes out and attacks Britt Baker's mother. And they don't kick Saraya out of the ringside. They don't kick Britt Baker's mom out either. And then, like, someone gets in a fight. People run down to help. Britt Baker's getting beat with a kendo stick, and no one... Even though every single week someone's come down to rescue her or help out with the originals or whatever.
Yeah.
This week, everyone's like, nah. Let them have it. That's the most infuriating thing, is the selective enforcement of their own booking policy.
Yeah.
Do they have friends or don't they?
Yeah. Are the originals together or are they not, you know?
Yeah. Like, where's Willow? Where's Rio? Who's the other one?
I think that's about it.
Oh, no, Blue Velvet? No.
Oh, blue sky, sky blue.
Sky Blue. Yeah. I mean, and then guys, I guess Adam Cole really doesn't have any friends, so that's, you know, okay. Well, no, where's Keith Lee? I'm sorry, where was Keith Lee?
I talked about, but not on screen.
Right. So they need to explain Keith Lee's not in the building.
Oh.
Keith Lee's not here this week.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Even if you go with the cheap travel excuse, you know, travel problems excuse, you know, have at it, you know, I don't care. As long as you explain it and make sense of what's going on, then we're good.
Just some semblance of consistency. That's all. And if this is agents making the call, then you need to get a control of your agents too. Or producers, whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh yeah, if I go quiet, just make sure and say, hey, your mute button. I'm still trying to kick whatever.
Well, I mean, I think this is a good enough time because honestly, I'm about ready to pee my pants. So I'm okay talking about Belltime beers, right? Because I just, yeah, we've done at least 30 minutes on how terrible AEW was this week. And I think I'm tapped out anyway because it was fucking awful. Like, it was definitely one of the worst 2 hours of wrestling TV I've watched in a while. And that even counts the hour of Rampage that Chris and I did not talk about on Tuesday.
I did not watch Rampage last week. I forgot about it.
Yeah, that was Sean Spears was in the main event against Jungle Boy. Not a big victory for Jungle Boy, you know.
That's
like,
probably why I didn't watch. So, so there. All right, so I know we're trying to get out, but there you go.
Yeah,
Jay White scared Sean Spears, just lost to Jungle Boy.
Yep. No reason for Jay White to be scared of him at all.
So
I didn't even think about that correlation earlier.
Yeah. But, so Belltime beer. I have to give blood again tomorrow, so I'm not drinking except water. But over the weekend, if you remember, Mr. Goodbar.
Oh, yeah. The candy bar?
Yeah, chocolate and peanuts. That's all it is.
Yep. Right?
But for some reason, it tastes awesome. Armored Cow Brewery out in University here in Charlotte came out with a Mr. Good beer. It's a Mr. Good Bar inspired porter.
Yep.
It tasted like a Mr. Good Bar.
Chocolate peanut butter is a...
It was crazy good.
Surprisingly tasty combination. And beer.
Yeah, that's the only reason we went out there. They had a... IPA, the Bang Bang, which I missed, marked as Space A's, which is a different brewery. It went down so easy. I was like, uh-oh. But we have to drive to this place. It's like 20 minutes from our house. We can take the train, but we forgot. So, and I wasn't feeling... I very smartly have like agitated sinuses and stuff, so went and had a beer. Because, you know, alcohol just stimulate your sinuses in all the right ways. So. Idiot. So... Yeah, so maybe next week.
Belltime beer, again, clean out the fridge, continues. Cartridge Brewing, Sabbat IPA. It is one of the beers that we went down to Mason, Ohio, and just we hung out at Sonder Brewing for a while, which is very good, and then visited some other breweries just north there of, it's Kings Island for those who are amusement park fans, and just north of Cincinnati for those who are good with Ohio geography. And,
still around?
Huh?
Is Kings Island still around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Home of the Beast.
And this beer is from that neck of the woods, and it's Cartridge Brewing because it was an old typewriter cartridge factory, which is where the brewery is now housed. And it's kind of a fun little building to go down and visit. Did not stay there for beers and just grabbed a six and took off. But fun location for a brewery. And it also has some, Oh, yes, some housing flanking it. So, hey, good for them. So, yeah, if you happen to be down in the Cincinnati area, go ahead and give Cartridge Brewing a look up. They are pretty solid, and that was a pretty solid IPA. Nothing too crazy, but good beer. So that is my Belltime beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Okay.